Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome into Outkick the Show. I am your fearless leader, Clay Travis. Got a lot of NFL and NBA off the top because my third grader who is watching right now, he's got strep throat. He doesn't feel good. And I told him that I would talk about the NFL draft for him. So hello, Nash. I know you're excited for the NFL draft on Thursday. He's downstairs. I hope he's going to feel better soon. And I'm going to talk about the NFL draft off the top because that is what you wanted me to talk about. In the meantime, get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to an entirely different level during basketball's postseason. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance. So if your injuries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half, doesn't return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back, not count that as a loss. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, enormous selection of player and stat types make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. I love it. You'll love it. Here's how you get hooked up. Download the app today. Use code OUTKICK for a first deposit match up to $100. That is code OUTKICK, and you'll get up to $100 on the match. PrizePicks.com, code OUTKICK. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit PrizePicks.com for restrictions and details. All right, 2 days until the NFL draft. Reminder, we are doing a live NFL draft show, 6th and Peabody. Me, Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow. Should be a lot of fun. It's going to be at 6th and Peabody. By the way, I'm dressed up. For any of you out there that are like, oh my goodness, Clay, you're awfully dressed up today. Well, yes, sometimes I can put on a jacket and a nice shirt as opposed to a t-shirt. I just was on Fox News with Martha McCollum talking about the protest, the anti-Israel protests that are taking place on so many different college campuses out there. I will get to that for all of you who want my opinion on that coming up at a little bit later in the show. But I put up a question that I think is intriguing right now as we sit 2 days from the NFL draft and over 16,000 of you have voted in this poll. And I asked something pretty simple. It's quite clear. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy are the four quarterbacks that are most likely to be the first four quarterbacks taken in the draft. Now, Bo Nix and also Michael Penix Jr. also could get taken in the first round of the NFL draft. So there are potentially going to be six quarterbacks taken. Now, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Joe Alt, that's probably the top seven in conjunction with those quarterbacks that are most likely to come off the board in the top seven or so picks based on all the mock drafts that I have seen. What's interesting is the 2021 quarterbacks have mostly bombed. The only first-round quarterback that is still on the team that drafted him is Trevor Lawrence. Everybody else has been traded. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. You've had so many different moving parts. The most recently, Zach Wilson sent yesterday from the Jets to the Broncos. Broncos have a quarterback mess on their hands. We'll see whether or not Sean Payton can get that all figured out before all is said and done. But if you actually break down those quarterbacks, you got Mac Jones down in Jacksonville. You've got the Dallas Cowboys having made a play for their guy there. Like, everybody has basically bailed and failed at the quarterback position. Trey Lance with the Cowboys. I think I ran through all this, and basically there's no real value here. Seventh round, Broncos gave up a sixth round pick for Zach Wilson. Trey Lance to the Cowboys for a fourth round pick. Justin Fields now to the Steelers for a sixth round pick. Mac Jones to the Jags for a sixth round pick. only Trevor Lawrence still on the team that drafted him just 3 years ago. So there's a lot of optimism right now about all these quarterbacks and where they could end up and how they're going to shake out. And I asked you, of the four quarterbacks that are expected to go in the first four, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, who are you the most confident in? I'm going to tell you what the poll reflected from the 16,000 votes in a minute. I'll tell you, Jaden Daniels is my answer. Now, I'm not 100% confident in Jaden Daniels, but because of his size, I'm a little bit concerned that he's going to take a lot of hits. He's a mobile guy. He's a fast guy. He's got a big arm, but he's skinny. And so I'm a little bit concerned about, can he put on weight? Can he handle the rigors of the quarterback position? But I would be most confident based on what I saw on the field of Jaden Daniels. Second most confident, Caleb Williams. My concern with Caleb Williams, not so much his size, because he's thicker. My concern with Caleb Williams is he tough enough? Mentally, he didn't seem that strong to me at USC. He can make every throw. He's got a cannon for an arm. He moves well in the pocket. He throws incredibly accurately without having his feet all the time set, which you have to be able to do at a high level to succeed in the NFL. My concern on him is, does he really want it? Is he mentally tough enough to go into Chicago and take control of that franchise, which hasn't been able to find a quarterback forever? That's my concern. He has all of the ability. So I would go Jaden Daniels 1. I'd go Caleb Williams 2. I'd probably go Drake May 3. I think Drake May probably going to end up going 3rd. I like what I've seen. A little bit too risky with the quarterback, with the ball at times. Has a tendency to throw the ball in a dangerous position more than I would like to see. Now, he played at North Carolina, not the elite level talent around him necessarily that you're able to get at LSU or frankly at SC, although the talent level dropped off a lot this year for Caleb Williams, I thought, on the SC roster. I like Drake May 3rd. I'm not sold on J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy feels to me a bit like Will Levis. And some of you are going to say, what are you talking about? He just led an undefeated Michigan team to a national championship. Will Levis couldn't even beat Vanderbilt in his senior year at Kentucky. Yes, the results are different. But J.J. McCarthy felt to me a lot like a first-read guy who didn't necessarily see the field that well, but has a big arm, is strong, and is athletic. That has me a little bit nervous. Now, maybe if he goes to Minnesota and they trade for him, that system offensively, being able to throw to Justin Jefferson, being well-protected in terms of that offensive system, Kirk Cousins obviously very, very successful there. Maybe McCarthy going there, if the Vikings end up making a play for him, would be a difference maker. But he of that group makes me the most nervous. What did you guys say? First of all, the voting was really even. There's still an hour left if you want to go vote in this. It's near the top of my list. Jaden Daniels, to you guys, 28% of you said you liked Jaden Daniels the most of the quarterbacks. That's my opinion. You agree with me. Second place, though, Drake May. You guys thought Drake May was the second best quarterback. Then Caleb Williams in 3rd place, J.J. McCarthy in 4th. So we agree, meaning me and the 16,000 voters. But by the way, all very even. 4 options. Jaden Daniels got 28% of the vote as the best available quarterback in the top 4. Drake May got 26%. Then you got Caleb Williams at 24% and J.J. McCarthy down at 22%. But close to even on those 4 picks. So a lot of divergent opinions from you guys in your opinions. Nobody at the absolute apex here. Nobody at the absolute floor. A lot of you have faith in all four of these guys. And I bet, I went into the comments, a lot of you also think that Bo Nix and or Michael Penix, who are on the fringe of potentially being first round picks as well, may also be the more successful quarterback. Ultimately, what this tells us, and all of you know this, nothing else matters but your quarterback. All that matters is your quarterback. You can have the best possible roster around them. Everything has to go perfect for you to win a Super Bowl and get past Patrick Mahomes and get past Josh Allen and get past Lamar Jackson in the AFC by itself and get past Justin Herbert and get past all of these different stud quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes certainly. In order to win the AFC, one of these guys is going to have to be incredible. In order to win the Super Bowl and get past all of those elite young quarterbacks on the AFC side of the equation, hey, CJ Stroud is only in his second year. Some of the gambling marketplaces have CJ Stroud above Patrick Mahomes when it comes to his likelihood to win the MVP. That's how much hype there is in one year. I think there's reason for a lot of optimism out there for the Houston Texans franchise. They don't have to pay a lot of money for CJ Stroud. They feel like they won the Deshaun Watson trade in a huge way. We'll see whether Deshaun Watson can get back up to being an elite quarterback in the AFC. I have my doubts. The Browns otherwise are very stacked around him. Look at how much success they had with Joe Flacco. So there is my quarterback analysis. I'm actually intrigued to see how the wide receivers come off the board. Where does Marvin Harrison come off? I think the Cardinals probably take him. And then if the Titans are out there sitting at 7 and all these quarterbacks are coming off the board, is Malik Nabers still there? If so, do they decide to go Malik Nabers over Joe Alt? Why do I mention that? Remember who the new coach is in Callahan? The Bengals decided to go get Ja'Marr Chase when everybody said you have to fix your offensive line. Then they went to the Super Bowl the next year. Now they got Joe Burrow, but Joe Burrow said, get me Ja'Marr Chase, and it's been a difference maker. I'm not a believer in Will Levis, but if you think, and I've heard a lot, I've heard Mike Dettillier the other day saying, hey, Malik Nabers is a Ja'Marr Chase clone. If he's there, you have to take him. That's a pivot point in the draft. Did the Titans go grab the offensive tackle in Joe Alt that a lot of people seem to be focused on as the best offensive tackle available? Or do they roll the dice, say we'll make up our offensive line in the years ahead, but we're going to go get Malik Nabers. We're going to put him in there out there with DeAndre Hopkins and with Calvin Ridley, and we'll give big-time playmakers at the wide receiver to Will Levis, who has a big arm. I don't know. It's intriguing to watch. So there's my NFL draft analysis as it pertains to today. We're going to have a lot of fun with the Outkick show.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Full disclosure. Last night, I'm watching with my wife the new Beckham documentary, David Beckham documentary, on Netflix. I think it's been up for a while. I don't know why I didn't watch it or hadn't seen it before. Go watch it. It's really, really good. Even if you're not a hardcore soccer fan, I didn't even remember much of the Beckham story. But we turn that off. It's bedtime. And I go upstairs and I say, okay, I'm going to watch the end. I'm going to give the NBA a chance. I see that it's a close game between the Knicks and the Sixers. I put on the last 5 minutes of that game. Fabulous decision. Best game in the Garden at the end, maybe since Reggie Miller went out and did the Spike Lee choke, maybe since LJ got the 4-point play to win, might have been 25 years since a crazy ending like what happened in New York occurred. Sixers bomb. They're up five. Bouncing ball triple to cut it to two. Get the steal. DiVincenzo drains a three after missing a wide open look a little bit outside. Gets two chances at the three. Great offensive rebound. Kicked out. Big block late. Congratulations to the Knicks being 2-0. You can party like it's the 1990s and Patrick Ewing and John Starks are still out there. So credit, I watched that game. Fabulous ending to the Knicks. I went to bed at halftime. I was tired. Lakers are up 16 at the half on the Nuggets. Lakers have lost nine straight games to Nikola Jokic and the Lakers. I think to myself, okay, surely LeBron and company can hang on here. I should have probably stayed up, went to bed. Wake up, like a lot of you, probably old men like me, roll over, pick up my phone, check to see the late night sports results, and see the jumper made by Jamal Murray to win, I think it was 101-99, drains a jumper over Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis storms out of the postgame press conference basically after saying he made a shot, which looks like even worse of a loser move, I think, from Anthony Davis. LeBron and the Lakers have not won an NBA playoff series. I had to go confirm this since 2020, back in the bubble. They're now down 0-2, 10-1 underdogs to win. If you think they're going to win four out of the next five games or win four in a row, I don't think they will. And the Nuggets have won 10 in a row against the Lakers. Are we underselling Jokic's dominance in the NBA? The Nuggets are the defending champs. LeBron is 39, misses a three to potentially win the game last night. Hasn't won a series in 4 years. And oh, by the way, the NBA television rights not yet resolved unless it has occurred. Both ESPN and TNT Warner Brothers let their exclusive negotiating window expire. Adam Silver desperate to try to get more money out of a league that still is struggling because he and LeBron have destroyed it. But to be fair, I am a sports fan and I enjoyed the 76ers-Knicks and I enjoy watching LeBron lose. Just absolutely love it. Love watching LeBron lose, and to lose to a not particularly athletic big man from Croatia, I think, in Nikola Jokic makes it even funnier to me. All right, that is my sports analysis. Nash Travis, I hope you get well. I am sorry that you have strep throat right now and have had to be home for the last 2 days, but I hope you enjoyed the NFL and the NBA breakdown. Go Braves. We'll watch the Braves game tonight against the Marlins, and hopefully the Braves will win another game. I love you and hope you get well. All right, couple of other thoughts out there. I just went on with Martha McCollum. We have protests right now, anti-Israel in nature, that are taking place all over the country. By and large, those protests are fixated in left-wing states, and blue cities. How did we enter a world where Joe Biden, just a couple of years ago, said, I'm running for president because of an anti-Semitic protest in Charlottesville. I think it has revealed the soul of the nation to be in danger. I'm paraphrasing, and probably far more eloquent than Biden himself can be today. Yet right now, Biden has got protests that are anti-Israel happening all over the country on left-wing protests, such that Columbia had to shut down in-person schooling for the remainder of the year. NYU has got them. We know we've had issues at Harvard and the University of Pennsylvania and MIT. What's interesting is, by and large, this is not happening in red states. And I tweeted about this. And some of you said, well, Vanderbilt's had an issue. Rice may have an issue. I'm sure at some point Duke, Emory may have issues because they have a lot of East Coast kids. Vanderbilt actually handled this, I thought, perfectly. They said, you have a right to protest. You don't have a right to occupy school grounds, and you don't have a right to commit crimes. They actually got multiple kids prosecuted and suspended over 20 kids for violating the Vanderbilt student code, and the protests, by and large, have not been significant since. Rice is now dealing with their own issue. I feel like the Rice administration will probably handle this. This is important. Anti-Semitism, anti-Israel protests are primarily right now located in blue states and on blue campuses, in blue cities. Why is Joe Biden not aggressively condemning this? Instead, yesterday, he came out and said, basically, both sides have an argument. Well, that's what he said was unacceptable in Charlottesville, except he lied about what Trump said when he claimed, oh, this was a part of the Very Fine People hoax, right? Trump didn't say that Nazis were very fine people or that anti-Jewish protesters were very fine people. He actually said there were very fine people on both sides of an argument about what should happen with a Robert E. Lee statue, which I think is true. Personally, I don't think we should be pulling down statues. I don't think we should be removing American history. That's my opinion. You can disagree with that and still be a reasonable person, in my opinion. But if Biden said the soul of the nation is at stake because of what we saw at Charlottesville, he's actually failed. Because now we're seeing Charlottesville replicated hundreds or thousands of times. And I think this is very important. If Mexico invaded the United States, a cartel group did, and killed 1,200 Americans and took over 100 Americans hostage, as I have been saying for months, we would rain down holy hell upon the Mexican cartel that was responsible for that. And there might well be innocent civilian casualties. But no one with a functional brain in America would say, you know what? The American response is too much. Most people would say, yeah, we got to defend our borders. We have to defend our people. You killed 1,200 innocent Americans and you kidnapped over 100 of them. We would rain down holy hell upon you. Look at what our response was to 9/11 when we were attacked. Israel has the right to defend itself. They have been attacked. The most devastating, deadly attack on Jewish people since the Holocaust. This is not a both sides issue. Israel's in the right. Hamas is in the wrong. And Israel deserves the right to defend itself to the utmost. The fact that so many American kids, students at high-end educational institutions can't understand that is a failure of America right now at Joe Biden's feet. And I give credit to Joe Scarborough and Professor Galloway at NYU who had a discussion about this on MSNBC. This morning, I shared it on my Twitter account. Credit where credit is due. I thought they did a good job on Morning Joe on MSNBC this morning discussing this issue, and I thought they got it right. Finally, I didn't believe it was possible. But I got to tell you, Alec Baldwin was treated so unfairly that I actually think he was in the right. They managed to do something that I thought was crazy. They managed to convince me, all of these anti-Israel protesters, that right now they were in the wrong and that Alec Baldwin was being unfairly treated and deserves, I think, when you watch that video that I shared on my social account, you are the bad guy if you are out there holding up a camera and demanding that someone repeat a political slogan of your choice. There's a video of Alec Baldwin out getting coffee. He is, I think, when you break that down, he is clearly not, and I repeat, not the bad guy in that video. You holding up that video are. All right, I love all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP, I got to do another media hit now. I appreciate all of you. I'll be back tomorrow. Plan on watching our draft special. Get well, Nash Travis. This has been Outkick, the show. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP.